Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
I think most people who watch that game would say, yeah, you know what? I don't know that Nathan Peterman was actually the right choice. Well, it was defended. Let's listen to that.
I feel like that was the right move, and I'll take that to my grave. That's how I felt about it. I'm always going to try and make the right move for our football team. Sometimes it's going to work out. Sometimes it's not. And I stand by it as a leader. I stand by those, both the ones that work out and the ones that don't.
So I think the big question here is, one, what are reasonable expectations as the Bills play against the Chargers? Obviously, the Chargers losing week one to the Chiefs are coming into this game with a high level of basically they have to win. And meanwhile, if you're a Bills fan, you're starting Josh Allen, you're thinking, okay, let's see what we've got. We had a guy at Wyoming who was not very accurate, who has a big arm. Let's see what we've got as we put him out on the field against Phillip Rivers, who has been one of the most consistently good quarterbacks in the entirety of the NFL over the last decade and change. And it also raises the question, now you've got two of the first-round quarterbacks starting. I think it's fair to say Lamar Jackson, as we've said for a while, was a project. He's not going to start this year unless you have a major injury situation with Joe Flacco. But what's going to happen with Baker Mayfield, the overall number one draft pick, who Drew Brees came out and said, you know what, I think Baker Mayfield can be better than me, which is nice of Drew Brees. There's not that much evidence of how good Baker Mayfield can be in the NFL yet, especially not as a starter going up against starting a defense, but we'll see. And then also out with the Cardinals, how long until Josh Rosen gets the nod and ends up starting for the Cardinals as well? All very intriguing. I want to bring in the crew. Danny G, how long? So we are already to two, right? I think most people would be surprised when we were doing this discussion back in May at some of the early training camps. If I had said, okay, by week two, two of the four first-round picks, two of the five, again, Lamar Jackson never really in the mix to start, but two of the five would already be starting by week two. Over, under, when do Baker Mayfield and Josh Rosen begin to start for their respective teams? Does it happen this year? Do you believe by week 10 that every single player who is available, right? Joe Flacco in the Ravens, again, I'm taking Lamar Jackson out. People are like, why don't you talk about Lamar Jackson? He was a first-round pick. He's not close to starting. There are four guys that I would say are in the mix. How long until all four are starting? Week 10.
I'm going to say by week 8, we see
all of them.
All of them, yeah. Especially after the praise heaped on top of our boy Baker by Drew Brees. Boy, you would think Baker Mayfield's the next Joe Montana. And the way Tyrod Taylor fumbled the ball and had turnovers, and we kept hearing about, well, the thing is, he doesn't give the ball over to the other team. He doesn't turn the ball over. If that trend continues or he gets hurt, then Baker gets slid into the mix.
I also think all of the pressure starts to ratchet down on, and we'll see how the Browns do, right? They tied in week one. As they win or lose, that kind of changes the pressure too. But I think a lot of people, myself included, start to ask the question, okay, you've got Josh Allen starting, and you can look, point out and say, well, Nathan Peterman is not an NFL starter. A.J. McCarron obviously was not either. And so it wasn't that difficult for Josh Allen to win that job. And then you can certainly look with the Jets and say the decision they had to make was, okay, we'll trade Teddy Bridgewater and get a draft pick, and then do we really want Josh McCown to be our starter? What do we gain by that? You know, we're a 5-11 team with Josh McCown. Maybe we could be a little bit better with Sam Darnold, maybe not, but we start the process of figuring out how good Sam Darnold's going to be. And I think Sam Darnold is really mentally tough. If you had any doubts about that, you probably didn't watch him play at USC, but he's got the mindset of an NFL defensive back where he immediately forgets everything bad that happens. You watch an NFL defensive back, he can get burned for three straight touchdowns, and he still lines up across the wide receiver and he's talking trash. When you saw Sam Darnold throw that interception on the first play of his career in the NFL, first pass attempt, and he got pick sixed, and he's on the road, and everybody is going crazy in Ford Field there in Detroit, it would have been incredibly easy for him to shrink in the moment and for that game to turn into a blowout. In fact, live wagering-wise, in the immediate aftermath of that pick six, the Detroit Lions went to a 14-point favorite. And you know, you can live dynamically wager, you know, on the games. And so I'm looking at that. I'm like, okay, I'm intrigued to see what this number is going to be now. Went to 14. And if you had known at that point in time, oh, man, one of these teams is going to lose by 31, would anyone have assumed it was going to be Matthew Stafford and the Detroit Lions that were going to lose by 31 despite already being up 7-0? I mean, it's going to be, in other words, a 38-point swing from that moment. The fact that Sam Darnold was mentally tough enough to rebound from that and then lead his team to a road victory in Monday Night Football is pretty phenomenal and incredible for him. And so that was outstanding. And then you look at Josh Allen, you say, okay, well, if you're a Bills fan, the one thing Nathan Peterman did was set such low expectations that it's almost impossible for Josh Allen to go out and not exceed those expectations. And if you're Nathan Peterman, you've had two opportunities to prove that you're an NFL starting quarterback. You start at San Diego and throw five interceptions, and then you post one of the worst starting performances of all time by an NFL quarterback on the road against the Ravens. And so the expectations for Josh Allen are, look, if he doesn't come out and throw five interceptions and throw for 25 yards, then boy, this was a really successful debut for Josh Allen. But I do think it ratchets up the pressure on both the Cardinals and the Cleveland Browns to ask, okay, when are these guys going to debut? When the other guys start playing and there isn't a proven great quarterback in front of them. Look, you can believe that Sam Bradford is really talented with the Cardinals. He's not the long-range future. I would be stunned if he is the long-range future of the Arizona Cardinals. You can believe that Tyrod Taylor is a decent quarterback in this league. He is not the long-range future of the Cleveland Browns. So if that is the case, why not make the decision to turn the page and start the future now? That's what I would be thinking if I'm a Cleveland Browns fan or if I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan. Let's find out now whether or not these guys are the future of our franchise. And I understand the cliche and the argument of you start a quarterback too early, you lose him forever and all of those things. But it just makes it more difficult when there are a couple of guys that are already out there playing. And look, given how little faith the Browns fans have in their organization, I'm a little bit apprehensive, to be honest with you, if I see that two other NFL franchises drafted a quarterback after we did and have already decided that he should be starting.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We talked yesterday about this man-eating tiger, which I am fascinated by. So there is a tiger that has killed 12 people in India. It's the same tiger. They've been able to tell by DNA testing. They can tell by the bite. This is crazy. It went all the way up to, it's a female tiger, by the way, a tigress, I guess is how you pronounce it. They went all the way to India's Supreme Court to fight over whether or not this tiger could be killed. And I can't believe this, that there were people who were saying, no, you got to let the tiger continue to live. It's killed 12 people. Oh, wait, sorry, 13 people, according to CNN. They've added another one since January of 2016. So this tiger in the eastern Yavatmal district has killed 13 people, three people in August alone, and this has gotten crazy. They're like, oh, what are we going to do about this? Well, some of the crazy conservation people are like, oh, you can't kill a tiger, even though it's killed 13 people. Well, the Indian Supreme Court had to decide this thing. The court sided with local authorities. They are now allowing forest rangers to hunt and kill the tiger, striking a blow to activists and campaigners battling to save the tigers. I can't believe that anybody is arguing you shouldn't be able to kill a tiger that's killed 13 people. Sarita Subramaniam questioned that this was not fair. They only plan to kill because they have hired a hunter. This tiger has killed 13 people, and that's the update. So we will give you an update on either when the tiger kills another person, this man-eating tiger that has killed 13 people, that's an unbelievable story, or when it is killed, the battle in India is officially underway. All right, so Danny G, you also, I didn't even do the cue, did I?
No,
you
never
did. Cue music, boys. Let's play the music.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a bone constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
Always good. All right, this is my worst nightmare. So we just talked about the killer tiger, yep, which has now been allowed to be killed. But this story, a bunch of you sent it to me. You can always find me on Twitter, at Clay Travis. When I saw this story, I was like, oh, my God, this is unbelievable.
It involves snakes. And I showed this video to Roberto, and he's like, what are those two snakes doing? Because it looks like they're mating. But it was actually two snakes wrestling, Clay. They were caught mid-combat, falling through a ceiling into someone's room. It's not going to surprise you. It happened to unsuspecting residents in Brisbane, Australia. Where else? Well, so many of our Animal Thunderdome stories happen.
Were they poisonous snakes?
Pythons. Coastal carpet pythons. Intertwined in a wrestling match, apparently over a female snake. They called in a trapper. How would you like to be a snake trapper, Clay? A catcher?
I don't know what you would have to pay. In all honesty, I don't know what you would have to pay me to be a snake trapper.
This snake catcher posted video on Sunday night showing these two coastal carpet pythons fighting, and they made quite a mess inside this Australia home. It's a crazy video. You
Do
really
they have
need to
pythons
see
in Australia, or are these pythons, like all the other pythons, they just got out of their cages and they've escaped and now they're everywhere?
That's a good question. This article does not talk about that, but you have to see the video of this. The audio wasn't good enough to play on the air, but visually, it is awesome to watch. Just YouTube fighting snakes bedroom ceiling. Clay's
that sounds like it could.
Worst
sounds like it'd be a dangerous
nightmare.
Search.
Yes.
I don't know.
Definitely.
I don't know if I want to Google that. I'm going to be honest with you. You got to be careful when you put in things like that. I don't know what that's going to lead me to. I thought Two Girls, One Cup was going to be a great ice cream story. We know what happened there.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
I believe we've got legendary NFL wide receiver Jerry Rice about to join us. Is he ready to go, Danny G?
Yeah, he's with us.
All right, Jerry Rice joining us now, and I appreciate you joining us. Obviously, legendary San Francisco 49er wide receiver. I think the first question that anybody would want to know, Jerry, as we come into week two of the NFL season, who's the best wide receiver in the NFL right now in your mind?
Who's the best receiver in the NFL right now? That's a tough one. I think it's between these three guys, Julio Jones, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham. If I had to pick one of those guys, I would say right now is probably Antonio Brown.
When you see the way those guys play now and the way the ball gets thrown around the field and the way quarterbacks get protected, does any part of you wish you were playing in today's NFL?
I wish I was playing all the time. You know, I loved the game of football. It was exciting to me. I enjoyed bringing entertainment to so many people. And I didn't mind those two-a-days, practices. I enjoyed, preseason football, also regular season football. So, yeah, I look back and I wish I was still playing.
What made Joe Montana so good?
I think really what made Joe Montana so good is that he was a great leader. The way he practiced, the time that he put in, the way he had that it factor that could make players better around him. And I think, he was a winner. You know, he wanted to win championships and he worked hard for it.
When you look back at your career now, what do you consider the peak? What moments do you think about the most when you contemplate the career that you had?
When I look back at my career, I think it was just that, it was not about the records. It was all about winning. I'm just going to call it what it is. And every time I stepped on the football field, I wanted to win. And if that didn't happen, then I had to come back the next week and I had to work harder and prepare myself a certain way. So, those are some of the things that I reflect on. But, you know, overall, it was just that putting on that uniform and going out on that football field in front of 60,000 people or more and trying to win football games.
You went to Mississippi Valley State, and when you got into the NFL, when did you realize, hey, I can be pretty good here? Not when you realized, hey, I can be dominant at times, but was there a moment when it crystallized and you believed, or were you nervous, or did you always believe it, even coming out of Mississippi Valley State?
You know, I never got to a point where I felt like I was pretty good, and I think that was the motivating factor for me and kept pushing me to work harder. You know, I think a lot of guys, they get complacent a little bit, then they let their guard down. But, I think it was that fear of failure that kept pushing me, and that's the reason why, I had so many successful years. And I had great teammates to support me and give me that opportunity to go out there and showcase my abilities.
We're talking to Jerry Rice. Another guy who went to a small school in the South and ended up making a name for himself was Terrell Owens. What did you think about T.O. not going to his induction ceremony at the Hall of Fame?
Well, you know, I think Terrell is he's his own man. And, I wish he had gone to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but he decided not to. But I still support him 100% because this guy, he was awesome on the football field, great teammate, and he was all about winning. So, I still support him 100%.
As one of the most famous 49ers of all time, I don't know if you've talked about this. I'm kind of curious. Colin Kaepernick, when he started to kneel on the sideline for the 49ers, what was your reaction? Just not necessarily as Jerry Rice, legendary San Francisco 49er, but just as a guy who had played for the 49ers before.
I was very shocked by that, but, one thing about our country, you can voice your opinion. You know, I think he was all about social injustice, just bringing awareness to that. And the thing, too, is that I don't think he was disrespecting the military or the flag. But, you know, we do have some problems that we need to address. And so I was very shocked by it because I feel like you should never bring politics to, to sports. You know, I think a lot of people responded to that.
So you personally, like, and I'm of the opinion that you are, which is sports is an escape from politics oftentimes,
right?
Not a reflection of politics.
Yeah, and, but you got to respect the league and what Nike is doing, you know, what the players are doing, and at least they're bringing awareness, and now it's something that we can address.
Who's the best quarterback in the NFL right now? I asked you best wide receiver. You said you thought probably Antonio Brown. Is it Aaron Rodgers? I mean, is there a guy who reminds you of Montana, or is the game changed to a certain extent? Who would you want to play for if you could play for any quarterback right now in the league?
Well, you got to say Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, all of these great players. You know, these guys know what it takes to win football games. They put their teammates in a position where they can win.
Last question for you. Who are you here with, and why are you here with us this morning on Fox Sports Radio?
Well, I have partnered with Marriott International and the loyalty program. And I'm glad to be a part of this because Marriott Rewards, then you got the SPG. There's over 200 exclusive NFL experiences. And where their members, this is unbelievable because their members, they have access to this and they can bid on certain, events. And I have one coming up, and this is going to be unbelievable because this is like my masterclass moment, December 17th. It's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's going to be at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I get the opportunity to showcase my abilities and pass some knowledge on to the members, and we're going to have a great time. But they better be ready to work December 17. So moments.marriottrewards.com. Go check it out, and everything is there.
Outstanding. As always, Jerry Rice, we appreciate it. Thank you, and have a good Thursday morning.
Hey, I appreciate that. Have a good one.
It's Jerry Rice. Interesting. Interesting discussion there.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.